Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We're so excited to recap the Singapore Grand Prix and also the two F1 Academy races. Dominant 22nd win by Lando, some tire strategy getting Oscar that P3 and podium over Lewis and the Mercedes, Max's damage control P2, and potentially Daniel Ricciardo's last race ever. That's horrible to even say. Much to discuss from this race weekend, so we will dive right in. I'm Sarah.
I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Chessa. Okay, yeah. I mean, overall thoughts and takeaways, Sarah, you kind of just gave a good little recap of it, but I just think the McLaren mega win was really cool to see. It was giving Max and the Red Bull, you know, circa, I guess, last year, beginning of this year. But it's just really interesting to see how far the season has come and how different things are. And I do feel like at every single race, it's getting more and more different. So it was very, very fun to watch, despite the fact that there wasn't as much little wheel racing, you know, at the top three that I would have liked. But it was very interesting. And like you said, some other interesting storylines with Danny crying at the end of the session. So we'll talk about that too.
Yes, we will. Lots to discuss there. Yeah, I think it was crazy. 20 seconds to Max, I think another 20 to Oscar, and then a minute to P4 from
Lando
is actually crazy. So good for McLaren keeping that pace, even in the midst of all the rear wing chatter. I love Singapore. I think night races are so fun. I know Singapore totally. Is so hot, but it's cool as long as drivers are being safe, which it seemed like we had a decent evening for them on that front. It's really cool to see them push the limits of their fitness and of their stamina. And I feel like Singapore really does that. And to see someone like Colapinto do so well at Singapore, being so new at a race that's so tough, I thought was a big highlight. I have lots to say on the Danny Ric situation, but I think we'll get to it.
Seeing the all-around strength from McLaren was incredible. I feel like they really put together a complete weekend where we knew they had the raw pace. They had the talent from both drivers. Lando clearly has the ability to get pole, but being able to really improve on some of the areas they've been focusing on, like Lando being able to get a great start, launch off the line, his first time getting pole, leading at the end of lap one. So very exciting.
Woo.
So they really nailed the strategy for Oscar. I remember Chessa was super nervous when they were leaving Oscar out for so long, but it ended up being completely the right call. And compared to Mercedes, especially, that call is really what got them the podium. And then also impressed by Max. I think Checo's performance this weekend and the Q2 exit shows that exactly what we were talking about in some of our more recent episodes, that the car really does seem to be struggling and maybe Max is just able to outdrive it. And this ultimately is what Max has always been so good at, is driving kind of flawlessly and getting the absolute best possible result, even maybe beyond what people think would be the best possible result, even under not ideal conditions. And then the Ferrari looked so fast on Sunday. It was towards the end of the race too. Charles picked a couple fastest laps off Lando, so it was a bummer that quali went so badly, but it was kind of a promising Sunday for them, at least in terms of pace.
How about MVPs?
I have to say, Danny, I have so many thoughts on this, which we will discuss, but I think he was just handling everything so well and so professionally in what I can only imagine is just an unbelievably difficult situation. And it was really showing why he is the most beloved personality in the sport, especially to American fans. So he did a great job.
I'm going to give it to Lando in his start. Finally, doing what he needed to do to get off the line really well and lead at the end of lap one and just be dominant all day. And McLaren, like we said, kind of all weekend. He will talk about him kind of throwing the car into the walls and some of the potential mistakes and all of that. But I was happy to see that at least the start and obviously the result went super well for him. For LVPs, so I completely agree with what you said, Sarah, about Daniel handling everything so well and professionally. My LVP is kind of the whole media situation around Daniel Ricciardo. It's always
totally
very strange to me that there was no official announcement. So it's kind of like the unspoken is being reacted to in a strange way. It was very emotional, kind of just assumed that it was his last race, and everybody sort of piled onto that in a quick and strange way. And I just, props to Danny for handling it so well, but it didn't sit right with me that there wasn't really an official announcement. And if this was to be his last race, I think he probably deserved more of a celebration for his career. And like, they should have let him do donuts and should have like done more for him. And I don't know. I think we'll see what happens. Obviously, the announcement's not out yet, but it seemed to be writing on the wall. And it was just weird to me that there wasn't an official announcement.
And the fact that he was crying in the post-race conference and the guy, and then they were like, well, hopefully we'll see you in Austin. It's like, yeah. Also, for him not to get to do Austin is so horrible.
I know.
He's hopefully America's worst favorite. Case, he comes to Austin as the number one VIP that he is at that race. Totally. The media situation was bizarre. And it feels a little unusual. Every single interviewer in every single situation asked him, so is it your last race? How are we feeling about your future? Which is, number one, impossible to answer. Number two, it is based on speculation. Nothing's been confirmed yet by the team. He's not going to confirm it on air, on the fly. So it just felt so brutal for him. And I completely agree with everything you said, Tiggy.
That's a really good LVP. I'm going to do kind of a softer one, but Yuki had some moments on the radio and we haven't heard that from him in a while. And he was just being a little bit petty. So that was my LVP.
Does he have any community service to do?
We'll talk about that. Unspecified community service. Very strangely.
What would really get them to stop cursing is if the community service is like cleaning up another team's garage or something. Like, Max, you have to go clean up the McLaren garage.
Okay, speaking of garages, I have to say this. So someone in my class at school is from Singapore, and they have to serve in the military. And so he was stationed as a police officer, and he was stationed inside the Ferrari garage in the Sebastian Vettel, Kimi Raikkonen era Like, isn't that crazy? He was like part of the police force that was inside the Ferrari garage. I was like, that is the coolest
thing. That is so cool.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Wild.
For me, I think LVP, we already kind of said Ferrari quali, Sainz in the wall, Charles getting his lap deleted for track limit, starting P9, P10 when there was potential for a lot more. And then also Lewis on the softs at the start. Oof. That was a rough one. Tiggy, I'm excited for your thoughts on that.
I think Mercedes admitted that they've taken the L all weekend long.
Yeah.
Besides quali. Quali was good.
True. How about for our hot takes? Mine was a Max win, which definitely too hot in hindsight. He lost by 20 seconds, but at least I forget what it was. Callum, his mechanic who we've interviewed, who's so funny, put in his Instagram caption like first runner-up or first loser or something. So we'll take it.
Hilarious. My hot take was Colapinto P8, which was very specific, and I'm not mad that it didn't play out. And then I had a driver announcement, thinking that Liam was going to get announced and Danny was going to lose his seat, which didn't happen, but it does feel like it could happen.
Close enough. I think we'll give you that very one. Close, yeah.
Yeah. It basically felt like it happened without happening.
Yeah.
But there was no Liam celebration. At least if it does get announced, I hope that they give Liam the excitement that he deserves as well.
They will. He's great. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I had a Carlos win, which was just too hot to be a back-to-back.
Too hot to handle.
Singapore. Too hot to handle. Back-to-back Singapore win for him, unfortunately, was not to be. But we keep on keeping on.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
For practice, a couple highlights for FP1. Piastri spent a lot of the session in the pits after an issue with his rear left tire. And the session was overall pretty slippery. Checo brought out a yellow flag at one point. Alonso almost lost control over a curb. And in the end, we had Leclerc on top, followed by Lando and Sainz.
For FP2, Lando led this session ahead of Charles with Sainz in P3 again. The big news here was a late session crash out from George. Lots of narrow brushes, kisses, whatever you want to call them, on the walls, especially from the McLarens. And for FP3, the real MVP of the session was the lizard. And the session ended up getting red flags so all the stewards could come out on to the track to chase the lizard off. So in the end, we had Lando. It was hilarious. And its legs were moving so fast. The video is crazy. But in the end here, we had Lando on top with Russell in P2 and Piastri in P3.
Did you see the F1 video on their Instagram with the lizard and he was doing all purple sectors and he got the fastest lap? Hilarious. Worth the watch.
Lando deserves a raise.
For quali, so the drivers had a hard time in practice, like we were saying, with hitting the wall, super narrow margins, commentators calling it perilously close when they brushed the walls, which was a bit of foreshadowing for Lando in this race. But for Q1, lots of rain the night before quali, so the drivers were getting accustomed to the track conditions. George got on the radio panicking about having no grip, complaining that the car felt completely different than FP3. For cuts, we had Danny, Stroll, Gasly, Bottas, and Joe. So no huge surprises there.
For Q2, it was a really tough cut for Checo in Q2, especially on a street circuit where he has way more opportunities to shine. This Baku-Singapore street circuit doubleheader did not go as we would have hoped for him. Both Williams were cut, but Colapinto was very close to Albon, which was exciting. And so for cuts, we had both Williams, Albon and Colapinto, followed by Checo, K-Mag, and Ocon.
For Q3, pretty miserable session for Ferrari. Sainz brought out the red flags here after he hit the wall. And before that, only three drivers were able to get a lap time. And then after the whole red flag cleanup, there was a huge rush and traffic to get lap times in when the session was resumed. Charles did get one in, but it was deleted for track limits. So the Ferraris were P9 and P10 here, which was not great. On the other hand, the Mercedes actually looked pretty good. Lewis pulled off a big P3 and also had and also Max had a strong session. So the final grid lineup was Lando, Max, Lewis, George, Oscar, Hulkenberg, which is my sleeper MVP, Alonso, Yuki, Charles, and Carlos.
For the race, so let's talk a little bit more in depth about Danny and his future before we get into it, because it definitely felt like the big cloud that was hanging over the weekend. It came up all weekend, media repeatedly asking him about it. And it's widely understood, Danny himself has said, that VCARB has given him performance targets and other metrics to hit. And I think the media rumors really reached a fever pitch this weekend, with people widely speculating that Liam Lawson would replace him for the rest of the season and for next year. Part of what sparked this as well is that during quali, the team principal, Laurent Mekies, really didn't push back at all on Sky Sports basically saying that Danny was out. So that was definitely interesting. And I think, as most of you have probably seen, at the end, Danny sat in the car for a really, really long time, stayed in the paddock late. His post-race interview was really emotional, devastating to watch. He was getting standing ovations, coming back to the hospitality from the team. A lot of you messaged us about it. So I think everybody's sort of like, what's going on? It feels like a celebration and a bittersweet ending, but we don't really know if it's the end. So a lot has been happening around that this weekend.
And interestingly, in response to a question about whether this was his last race, he said, quote, "Possibly, I have to acknowledge that. It's been a little bit of a race-by-race situation, and I would have obviously loved the weekend to have gone better. It didn't, so I have to be prepared for this maybe being it." The slight bright spot was he did pit for soft tires at the very end. He said he wanted one last crack at a flying lap. He did get fastest lap, also got voted driver of the day in solidarity, which, again, it's just an indication of how widespread this was and how the fans were really aware of what was going on just from all the media coverage. So what do you all think? Was this handled properly? Do you think it's actually true that he's out? And what's next for him?
I'm crying listening to all of that. This poor man. Like, we've been talking this whole time about how, I mean, maybe not you, Sarah, but Tiggy and I are kind of like, all right, like, Danny, let's go. Like, let's get someone else new in. But this is actually heartbreaking because, you know, when it's a career-ending moment, like, you want to be able to acknowledge that. And the fact that it hasn't really been acknowledged in what I think, like we've already said, a great way is really tough. And it's like, if you're the team principal and you're setting these metrics for him and he's not hitting them, just say what's going to happen. Like, so I think maybe what's happening is that they're like sad to lose him and they're maybe trying to like work things out and see how many more races they can eke out of him. But at this point, it just feels really awkward. And I do think that they need to get him going on his future. He did say he was thinking about maybe doing NASCAR next year. So,
yeah, it feels like the worst of both worlds for him. Like, regardless of whether this was his last race or not, if it was his last race, he didn't get what he deserved in terms of celebration. Like, yes, there was emotion and yes, people were clapping for him, but I don't know. I feel like he didn't really get the send-off he deserved if it was his last race. And if it's not, then how awkward to come back in Austin after that whole showing in Singapore. I don't know. Yeah, it's just like a slow drip and it feels wrong. I would say if they're trying to get Liam in, do it as fast as possible. Rip the Band-Aid off, because I don't think it's good for anyone.
Totally agree. And if it is writing on the wall and there have been clear metrics that he's not hitting, I don't know what about this one race would have changed everything. If presumably maybe they had decided that this 3-week break between Singapore and Austin was kind of one of the reevaluation periods that they had discussed with him, and it just became more and more obvious that it was kind of imminent and that certain targets wouldn't be met before Singapore. But you're right, especially before the race, if it had been announced, he would have been able to go out on a high and just with his classic Danny Rick energy that everyone loves so much. And I'm sure he would have been celebrating and joking. I bet he would have done a shoey when he got out of the car, or just
donuts. Something
celebratory. Yeah, he's an 8-time Grand Prix winner. He's had a great career. He means a lot to everyone on the grid. And I think one thing that has to be said also is just how much he's done for the sport. We're American fans, and he is, I think, similarly to Lewis, really the biggest mainstream celebrity in the United States. He's responsible for getting so many people excited about the sport through Drive to Survive, and it'll be a massive loss to the sport and to the grid not to have him on it. And I agree, it felt like he was robbed, or that I don't know, it just it felt bad.
It was a real bummer for him. So we'll see what happens. All right, jumping to the race start. So the way that the race started, most people were on mediums. Lando finally had a nice clean getaway on the start. It was clear for the launch that he got off the line better than Max. We had Max and Lewis going wheel to wheel into turn one. Max came out ahead. Meanwhile, a little bit further back, Sainz and Alonso ran wide in the runoff at turn one. They were able to rejoin. What was crazy too was Colapinto, he was up 4 places on the first lap, but Albon said on the radio that Colapinto dive bombed him at turn one. So hopefully no trouble in paradise for those two. But Sainz was also critical of Colapinto's driving on lap one. Overall, other big winners of this first lap was Checo. He had his elbows out, picked up several places, which were very much needed from him. And Max was only able to hang on in DRS range for the first lap, and that's when he really started dropping back, and Lewis wasn't able to make up any ground at all, even though he was on softs, which we can talk about now or we can talk about later, but bummer for him too.
Yeah, not the right call. Too hot, high degradation, just not the right call for Lewis. For a couple other highlights, so we talked a little bit about the pace in the McLaren, but it was wild. Lando had already pulled a 3-second gap on Max by lap 10, told his engineer he was only pushing at a 6, presumably out of a 10. And his engineer just casually asked him to build a 5-second gap to Max in the next few laps. And sure enough, by lap 15, he was over 10 seconds ahead.
Crazy.
So that was wild. There were some early pit stops onto hards, which made it clear that there was a very powerful undercut, like up to 2 seconds. So that was wild. Lando's gap got up to 22 seconds. Both Lando and Max were just trying to wait each other out since neither wanted to pit first. Max ended up going first, then Lando went in on the next lap. And Lando had a bit of a scare where he brushed the wall, slightly damaged his front wing, but only a small amount of damage, and he didn't need that to be replaced. But that was sort of one of the moments where Lando had a bit of a close call.
A couple close calls. So like we were saying, Oscar went very long. He didn't pit until lap 39 when he went onto the hards. And then he came out in P5 with a huge tire advantage over both Lewis and George for the rest of the race. He pretty easily got past Lewis and then also went around the outside of George at turn 7 on lap 45. So he was able to make pretty quick work of them. And then again, only a couple laps later, Lando had another very close call with the wall. And what was so funny, his engineer said, "Full concentration now, take a drink." And one thing that I loved was in the cool down room, Max and Oscar saw the brush of the wall footage live, and they had the funniest reactions, just how close Lando got. I think Max was like, whoa, you got really lucky there. But in the end, he pulled it off and he won by a whopping 20 seconds.
Wild.
Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estro Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply.
Okay, so generally for the team though, for McLaren, we'll jump into the teams now. Very big weekend for the team. So now McLaren is 40 points ahead in constructors, which is crazy. Lando got pole, led every lap, and won, but he missed out on fastest lap. Like we said, Danny was able to get that one. Oscar had a great race, P5 to podium. They just really had good strategy in the end, even though I was texting Sarah being like, they're messing it up. I'm so stressed out. The gap is building. But it was really, really great. I think one thing that was interesting to watch was McLaren doing some fake outs on the pit wall of sending people out with tires, pulling them back in. Maybe it was to confuse the other teams. Maybe they were just making a lot of calls on the fly, but we were definitely watching that. And I'm really excited. I think one thing I do want to talk about is Lando's performance. Do we think that this is it? This is good. Like, if he keeps this up, we could see him getting the driver's championship.
Driver's championship is still feeling like a far cry to me, especially when Max is coming in P2. If Max is coming in P5 or higher and Lando is driving like this, then maybe. But I think Max needs a little bit more competition if Lando wants the driver's championship. And I know Singapore is a bit of a tough track, but the propensity Lando showed today for potentially race-ending errors is a little worrisome. Like, I get he was pushing on the line, but he was also – he won by over 20 seconds. So it's that easily with just a split second of a different touch could have ended his race. So I think he was lucky not to have anything worse happen to him.
He is always just pushing so flat out, though. We've seen this from him before. This might just be his driving style.
He almost made a comment, though, in the post-race interview that it was almost being too – David Coulthard said, oh, were you pushing too hard? And he kind of said, oh, at points maybe chilling too much. I think we've talked about this a bunch, but when Max had those 20-second gap leads and really had no kind of distractions in the race, no wheelable action to keep him entertained, it is a huge – game of focus that I'm sure Lando will get more used to, but it did feel like the type of mistakes that I don't think we would see Max or Lewis making if they were leading. It was a little more reminiscent of Charles. It reminded me of, I think it was in 2022, maybe it was Monza, him and Max were kind of still in the championship fight, and Charles just had a huge unforced error into the wall, just no reason. And it felt like Lando got very lucky that isn't what happened. For Red Bull, it was solid damage control with the P2 from Max, P10 from Checo, which was kind of all that was possible after a Q2 exit in a track that's hard to overtake. Max was really upset on the radio when he thought Leclerc had undercut him.
Yeah.
In reality, Max hadn't lost track position because Charles hadn't pitted yet, and Max didn't realize that. So he was really upset, and it was not actually the case. Checo was much slower than Max. He could not get past Hülkenberg for P9. Checo said the car was bouncing like a kangaroo. And some other team updates following the departure of the sporting director, Jonathan Wheatley, who's becoming the team principal at Sauber/Audi. The team's restructuring a bit and is promoting GP, Gianpiero Lambiasi, Verstappen's race engineer, to the head of racing. But do not worry, GP will still be Max's race engineer in addition, as he has been since Max joined the team in 2016. So no split up for that married couple.
I can't handle a split up. I need the drama on the radio from them. It's too good. And we have to shout out Max's radio at the end. So our radio of the week was Let's Keep Pushing from Lando. But my vote was the Max Thank You Daniel radio for taking the fastest lap, because I thought that was also symbolic of like everything that was going on in the media. But it was also, if Max wins this driver's championship by a point, Daniel, you are the man. So I loved that radio.
Also, it was just like nice, even if it's not just for the extra point to get it, but yeah, just be like, yes, Daniel, thank you for your service.
Because they're buds. They've been through a lot together. I know. I'm sorry. Let's keep it chugging along so we don't cry over this. For Ferrari, Ferrari solidly made up ground after a horrible quali. They finished P5 and P7, which was good, but it was a bummer about quali because they showed a lot of pace in the race, especially from Charles. So it did feel like there was a lot more that was possible. There were team orders here in the last stint for Carlos to let Charles pass, and Charles was flying at one point, snagged the fastest lap from the McLarens, which Daniel ended up taking back. But that team order situation, I think, was good for Charles to get by because he was absolutely going for it.
For Mercedes, disappointing P4 and P6 for them after the podium was very much in contention at the beginning, having started P3 and P4. They had a very tough call on tire strategy for Lewis, like we alluded to, starting him on softs to try to maybe get a jump off Max off the line, but he stayed in P3. The tires overheated way too fast because, again, this is a very hot track and circuit. So this basically took him out of podium contention. He had to pit really early, was at a tire disadvantage the entire race. Yeah, the soft tire was almost universally a disaster. It just did not work in the conditions. I think Yuki had a really hard time with them as well. We did have some prime radio commentary from George.
This was some of his best work in a long time, I think.
It was just like confusing. It was just like, I guess maybe it was like a little bit quiet on his radio. And at one moment he was just like, quote, I need some encouragement, mate. And they were like, you got this, keep going. And then he did say, it's like a sauna. And then with 10 laps to go, he said, I have oversteer and I have understeer. And one of the commentators were like, sounds like he has a perfectly functioning car then.
For Aston Martin, Alonso is clearly very unhappy with the car, as we saw at points during the weekend, but he's really making the most of it. He seems to be extracting all the points he can. So that was a solid points finish in P8 for him. He was really fighting in the midfield the whole race. Whereas Stroll finished P14, so really kind of another race showing the delta between Alonso and Stroll. And like we were talking about with Adrian Newey, this will be a very interesting point to watch for going forwards as the team evolves.
Totally. And for VCARB, we've talked a lot about the media surrounding Danny, but beyond that, on track, it was sort of a miserable weekend. He got pulled in for the early pit stop to try to get clean air, then started steadily making up ground from a P15 start. But then some team orders drama around lap 40 happened when Yuki wanted to get past Daniel for P12, was getting very animated on the radio. They told him to calm down, and Danny did let him through. Danny was on softs and just started falling way back from there. He finished last of the cars that finished, and meanwhile, Yuki finished P12, but Danny made a comment that it was not, if this were to be his last race, it was not the fairy tale ending he would have liked to have. Sorry, Tessa, I'm just like making you cry over there.
I have to say,
our podcast is audio only, but I am wearing my Enchanté merch in solidarity of Daniel Ricciardo today.
I didn't know I was going to feel like this. I'm really sad. Moving on. So for Haas, Nico was up there keeping up with the top cars. We loved to see it, especially me. I was like, I have a soft spot for Haas and them switching up the order once in a while. And you know it's a good race for the Hulk when there's commentary lines like, finally Leclerc has gotten past the Haas, and discussion of how Checo couldn't get past him. Very well-deserved points finish for him. Meanwhile, a DNF for K-Mag after he brushed the wall on turn 5 exit and got a puncture. I think his comments from earlier in the week were karma, and he got too excited to come back and get things going.
For Alpine, I think they knew this would not be their strongest track. Ended with Ocon in P13 and Gasly in P17. They tried to be creative and keep Gasly out super long on the mediums in hopes of a safety car, but it actually ended up being the first Singapore Grand Prix ever. I think the first race here was in 2018 that did not have a safety car. So he ended up just lingering out there on the mediums and then never getting a safety car, unfortunately.
So sad. For Williams, Colapinto, great race, made up several places on the first lap, then kept Checo behind him almost the entire race. And Checo even said he's very good, difficult to pass, which felt like a nice moment for Colapinto, who seems to be making friends in the paddock, which is nice. There's been some good social content around him. It is disappointing for him that he just missed out on points in P11, but it's great to see him doing well. Meanwhile, poor Albon, just tough luck this weekend. He had a really horrible first lap, dropped several places, then had an early pit onto hards, was super fast in his outlaps, but then had to retire. The power unit was overheating, and it just seemed like maybe something could have gotten stuck in the ducts, but definitely not what he wanted and how he wanted that race to go.
For Steak, again, a really tough weekend, basically having their own race at the back of the pack. It's like a steak party back there. They should just like live their lives and hang out, because that's just what's happening. Besides VCARB, where we can sort of tell which direction things are going in, Steak is the only team left with an open seat for 2025. Both Bottas and Joe's futures are unclear. And in an interview this weekend, Bottas said that he thinks he deserves to be in F1 and that he's gotten positive feedback from Mattia Binotto, but that begs the question, why haven't they announced it yet? What do you guys think? What are your latest thoughts on the seat? I would love to see Bottas stay. I think it would be really fun. So I think for me, it's a win-win, because either Bottas stays or we potentially get a rookie. So those would both be really good for me.
I feel bad for Bottas. He had a quote this week saying that he thinks he's driving some of his best racing. Like, he's doing some of his best racing. You just can't tell because of the car and because of the results, which I don't know. Maybe he's just, maybe that's PR coded, but I do feel like it's really tough for him to be in this car and feel like he's doing a good job and just like not getting the results. It feels strange to me if it's going to be Bottas that it hasn't been announced.
Agreed.
I almost feel like they're waiting, A, to see how Colapinto does, maybe the other F2 driver, Bortoleto. But it feels like they're kind of waiting and sussing it out. And because otherwise they would have just announced Bottas. Like, he's a great driver. He's a sure bet. It is kind of strange to me that they haven't. And I wonder if because Nico Hülkenberg will be the other seat and he's a relatively more tenured, experienced driver, that they are going to try to make a rookie bet for someone younger, which would be sad. But that's kind of where I'm leaning, the way that they'll go.
I'll be so sad if we lose both Danny Rick and Botas.
So tough.
And lose them both multiple Grand Prix winners, incredible drivers, having their last seasons be in these really tough cars and tough situations where, especially for Botas, there's not even a hope of scoring a point, even if you're driving the best race of your life. And he deserves so much more than that. I feel like I've been a broken record on this, but I've really been wanting to have him be able to show off his talent at a team that's not Mercedes. And I really hope he gets the opportunity to do that.
To wrap up the weekend then for standings, then we'll talk a little bit about F1 Academy because they had an amazing race this weekend, or a bunch of races this weekend. So for the drivers' standings, Max is ahead by 52 points with 331, Lando 279, Leclerc 245, Piastri 237. So that one's going to spice up for P3 there. Then we have Sainz 190, Hamilton 174, Russell 155, and Checo 144. So all pretty close down there as well. Constructors now, McLaren extends their lead and they are now ahead by 41 points at 516. We have Red Bull at 475, Ferrari 441, Mercedes in their own little world at 329, and Aston Martin at 86.
All right, jumping into F1 Academy. So for quali, it was a tight session with Abby pulling, Maya Vogue, and Dorian Pain swapping best times throughout the session. But in the end, we had Abby come out on top with a double pole position. She just feels unstoppable. She's absolutely
giving Max her stop in.
It is.
It really is.
I wonder, she can't come back to F1 Academy next year because this is her second season. So I wonder where she will go. Ooh. But I think she deserves to go somewhere very
F2, good. F2, hopefully.
Yes, that would be amazing. For race one, so the starting grid for this race, like we said, Abby, then Maya, and then Dorian. The race saw a shortened format to 11 laps after an aborted start that was caused by Bianca Bustamante, who incurred a 10-second stop-go penalty during the race, which is interesting. And then Abby secured her sixth victory of the season, taking a very strong win, finishing over 2 seconds ahead of Maya Vogue of Ferrari, and also setting multiple fastest laps. So rounding out the podium, we had Maya and then Dorian. So pretty consistent top three.
For the second race, we had a similar starting grid here with Maya and Dorian swapping positions. So we had Abby, Dorian, and then Maya. This race also saw a safety car, which was triggered by a spin out from Bianca, who had a tough weekend. So that led to a restart. Abby did really well in the restart and extended her lead. It's also giving Max Verstappen. In the end, we had Abby with another dominant performance, followed by Maya, who was able to get second back from Dorian, who finished third. So identical podiums in both races. Sorry. And then with her seventh win of the season, Abby now holds a 95-point lead in the championship. However, the team's title race is still tight with Prema in first place, only 7 points ahead of Rodon Motorsport. So going to be an exciting end of the season.
It was great. I can't wait to see how it all plays out. And to wrap up, last little bit of news, which we've been kind of laughing about, the FIA president, Ben Sulayem, has asked F1 management to limit the amount of swearing that is broadcasted during race weekend. And then immediately in the wake of this request, Max cursed at the Singapore press conference, saying his car was, quote, effed. He was then summoned to the stewards and was issued a punishment, and he will be expected to, quote, accomplish some work of public interest, which has yet to be defined. So we're reading that as some sort of community service, which is very, very interesting. It's hilarious.
Max was hilarious this weekend. Then he sort of like staged his own press conference. It was like a whole dramatic situation. But I love that the other drivers also kind of came to his defense. Lewis was basically like, this is a joke. And if I were given this, I would not do this, which Lewis, I'm sure, does community service every day of his life. But like, I think, this just feels kind of silly to me.
And it seems like one of the ones where it helps them when drivers take a really quick stand. It reminds me of when they tried to have that jewelry rule and Lewis, similarly to Max here, just said absolutely not and showed up with 4 watches and 8 bracelets to the press conference.
I love that.
And then I think they kind of stopped enforcing it, or at least people don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah. So I'm sure it's going that way. Oscar's caption on Instagram was funny. He was basically poking fun at it as well. He was like, without swearing, this went by blinking fast or something like that.
He's such a sweetheart.
I love him. But anyway, on to the next race, which is in 3 weeks. So this is like a second summer break almost. So Austin is next. Can't believe we're saying that. We will be there. So very excited for the US Grand Prix, and we hope to see some of you there. But of course, we will have episodes in the meantime.